Well, good morning again. Welcome to Christ Center. The world did not end this week with the eclipse, in case you were wondering. The world did not end. There was no apocalypse with this particular eclipse, like some predicted, in this rare mix of astrology and Christianity that we see at every eclipse. Some of you actually got to see it. Did anyone of you get to see it? To me, it was like behind the clouds. I saw a couple of pictures out there. I was like, wow. I saw one pastor say, you know, instead of like thinking all about divine judgment every time there's anything beautiful in the sky, maybe we should just appreciate the beauty of God's creation. Isn't that good? I was like, yeah, I like that. That's good. We need to enjoy the gift of beauty. Beauty. And nature is one of God's great gifts. And God's given us a lot of great gifts. We have meditated on this before, and I want to do it again as we start here. For the next 4 hours, we're going to be talking about this. That's right. I'm not going to go long this morning. We had a lot happening this morning. It was so good, so good. Okay. God's given us lots of things, you know. He's the giver of life, as we know. He gives all we need to sustain life. Things like water. You know, we need water. And guess what? Water literally falls from the sky. And that's what we need. How amazing is that? We need food. And guess what? Food literally grows on trees. Amazing. And on animals. Food grows on animals. It's beautiful. We serve a really extravagant and generous God. Extravagant. Acts 17:24 says this. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gave to all mankind life and breath and everything. Just everything. I was thinking about breath. How often do we think about the gift of air? I used to think about it all the time because I had extreme asthma when I was a kid. And I would get these asthma attacks and they would be so bad. I could get so little air in that I would just stay really, really still and breathe as slowly as I could just to get the little bit of air through my bronchial tubes and wait until the medicine kicked in, you know? And then it would finally kick in and you're like, oh, and you remember that breath is precious. And thanks be to God, I've outgrown it now. And now, like, to be able to go, is so wonderful. Breath is a gift, you guys. I couldn't do that as a kid. I could never breathe in that deeply. It's a gift. God gives us all we need, food, water, and air. And then he gets really, really lavish by giving us things we don't actually need. Like beauty. This brings me back to the eclipse. You know, astronomers don't know of any other planet that has eclipses. At least not like we do. You might have a moon getting in the way of a sun, but they don't line up. Like, we're the only place that they know for sure there's an eclipse here. What we saw, most of us online or on TV, this week was the moon, of course, getting in the way of the sun. And the only reason it looks so cool with that corona ring around it and the flip, like the only reason it looks so awesome is because of what many people have called a cosmic coincidence. It's a coincidence that it looks so awesome. There was a man named Aaron Rath that did a segment on an NPR show called All Things Considered. He called it an ode to a cosmic coincidence. I'm going to read to you a segment of this here, okay? Get this. This is really fun. Since seeing the 2017 eclipse in person, I've been wondering, just how lucky are we to get this perfect alignment? And a couple of days ago, astrophysicist Grant Tremblay confirmed it to me. It is really an incredible cosmic coincidence, he told me on All Things Considered. And I promise you, it really is just a coincidence, but it's a profoundly lucky one. Is the sun and the moon the same size? Obviously not, he said. We know from pure geometry that the things that are further away have a smaller so-called angular size in the sky than things that are closer to you. The sun is 400 times larger in diameter than the moon is, And herein lies what Tremblay calls the cosmic coincidence. Because the sun is 400 times larger than the moon is, but also is basically 400 times further away. And they're almost exactly the same size in the sky. Now, when you get these chance alignments, the disk of the moon totally blocks out the bright disk of the sun. This is wild. Again, this doesn't happen anywhere else that we know of. For me, the coincidence is downright miraculous when you factor in the fact that our planet also happens to be the perfect place for an eclipse party in the habitable Goldilocks zone, just the right distance from our star, just the right gravity and mix of elements to develop life that would ultimately evolve sentience and be able to appreciate the incredible eclipse show on their little planet. As I told Tremblay, I'm not a creationist, but it made me wonder, is it all somehow more than just a coincidence? He laughed and said, it is really lucky. Isn't that great? I love that. It's really lucky. Like, if you don't believe in God, like, even that is a little bit of glory. It's a little bit of worship. They don't know they're worshiping, but there's a, you know, like, wow, this is amazing, right? It is really, really lucky. Here's a picture of, can we pull up the second picture, Joe? Here is a picture of a man named Stan Honda from CNN.com, and Getty Images put this up. Look how perfectly those two things align. And you see in the bottom corner, as there's little light shining through, this is what they call the Bailey beads effect. And the light's peeking through only because the craters of the moon have been flattened on certain edges. So you can see the light. Isn't that amazing? And you see these little red, you can't really see it probably, but little kind of red flares from the sun. It's wild, you guys. It's amazing. Let's go to that next one. Here's one that I just thought was really, really cool, and I wanted to pass it on. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's taken by Bobby Godden for the USA Today and Reuters. I thought that was just amazing. Look at this beauty that we get to see. Eclipses are amazing. And they also have led to innumerable scientific discoveries, including the discovery of helium. Who knew? And the confirmation of Einstein's theory of relativity. Like, all of these great scientific discoveries have happened because of eclipses. Amazing. What a gift. What a gift. God isn't just generous, you guys. He is extravagant in his generosity. He not only gives us things we need to sustain life, but he also makes life rich. Gifts like this are the breathtaking beauty of the heavens. James 1:17 reminds us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Our God is extravagant. And of all the gifts he gave, of course, is Christ himself. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And speaking of Jesus, he is also quite generous as well. He came and he reflected the generosity of the Father in every way. Like, all he did was give. But I'm not only talking about his death. I'm also talking about his life. Like, there was one day in Jesus' ministry that had to be one of the most exhausting things imaginable. He had just discovered from some messengers that his cousin had been executed, like beheaded by Herod. Like, he knew he'd been in jail, and they come to him and say, hey, we got bad news. John's been killed. Your friend, your cousin, your forerunner. And they buried his body and came and told him the news, and he had been with people. And in Matthew 14:13, we see this. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Of course. Got to go to a desolate place, right? Have some time to mourn. This is a tragic, shocking moment. But look what happens. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. They see him in a boat, you guys. Oh, he's crying. His cousin just died. You know what we need to do? Let's figure out where he's going. And this crowd is following him along the shore. Such a bummer. But when he saw the great crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. He's already like totally emotionally depleted the whole day with this huge crowd, giving them all he has, all his attention, all his time. In the middle of this, he heals, he shows love even in this moment. Jesus lived an extravagant life, giving and giving and giving in some really profound ways. But this story keeps going, and it reaches into us, his followers. Check out what happens next. Verse 15 says, as evening approached, the disciples, so he really was all day long then. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Well, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Notice the progression here. God gives food, including fish, which are delicious when cooked properly, but they can be horrible, let's be honest. I grew up in community. Fish day was not a fun day. God gives fish. Jesus takes it. Jesus multiplies it. Jesus gives it to his followers. His followers give to the people. You see this? This is a beautiful progression here. Just as Jesus emulated the Father's extravagant generosity, so Jesus calls us, his followers, to emulate his generosity, his extravagance. And it's a beautiful call. 1 John 13:16-18 spells this out really well. He says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love the world, or love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And this emphasis, you guys, is all over the New Testament. It's everywhere. This invitation to live a generous life. This overwhelming emphasis on giving to those who don't have. Acts 20:35, for example, just give you a couple of examples. We could sit here all morning. We're not going to, believe me, but we could. 20:35 says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than receive. Matthew 10:8, he even says this, you received without paying, so give without paying. I love that. You've been the beneficiary of gifts, so give. Now, he's not just talking financial. I know the minute you start talking about generosity, people like shift, oh, we're talking about finances. And that's one application of that, right? That's the most common thing we think about, giving to one another, giving to the work of the ministry, giving to the poor. Again and again, we're called as followers of Jesus to give. That means to turn away from the desire for riches, which is constantly cautioned in throughout the New Testament, to turn away from the desire for riches and instead to give. But we're talking about a whole lifestyle of generosity, not just with our pocketbooks. Who has a pocketbook now? Why did I just say that word? Nobody, Joshua has a pocketbook. Nobody carries a pocketbook now. That's such an antiquated word. I apologize for my old man word. We don't just give with our wallet cases on our phones, you know what I'm saying? With our Apple Pay. Is that better?
It's a whole lifestyle.
Extravagant generosity, you guys, inspires. It inspires. Can I give you a few examples of people who have inspired me with their generosity? Whether or not you say yes, I'm going to, because it's in my notes. I don't know why I ask you these rhetorical questions. Here's the first one. We have that first picture. Yeah. This man was an inventor, an engineer, and businessman by the name of R.G. Letourneau. Anybody know that name? Yeah? Jeff does, yeah. Okay, a few of you know. Mark? Is that? There you go. He is a legend in the engineering community, especially where I'm from in Texas. This man, he invented all kinds of stuff for farming equipment and all this, and became a successful businessman. And he decided, he says, you know what I want to do? I want to live on 10% of income and give away 90%. And he did. Somebody called it, I don't know if it was him, somebody dubbed it reverse tithing. It's like, it's funny. But he lived on 10 and he gave away 90%. That was his life. And he gave to the poor, he gave to charity, he gave to the work of the ministry around the world. And now he has a university named after him in East Texas and all this stuff. He was a wonderful man of God. But despite all of his professional accomplishments, he might be best known for his generosity. How beautiful is that? Isn't that inspiring? Like, he did not get owned by his wealth because he gave. That's inspiring to me. Here's another picture of an engineering legend. There he is. He didn't know that he was coming up there. Two engineering legends. Tara, she's like, I've seen engineer before, but Mike, who went to school for engineering, but he is a teacher now. Mike is not, as far as I know, a millionaire. I don't think, unless he's been hiding stuff from me, because I'm always asking him for money every day. It's not true. But Mike is one of the most generous people that I know. Mike, you know what Mike gives? His energy. I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever had Mike Kaiser help them move before? Now look around the room. A little higher, guys. A little higher. Look at this. Okay? Look, and keep your hands up for a second. Actually, everybody stand up for a second. Okay? Just seriously. Stand up. I'm one of them. Look at this. Okay, you can sit down. Now, and there's more, there's a lot more outside of this community. But here's the thing, moving stinks. Moving is the worst. It's chaos, right? Everything about it, it stresses you out. Your back really hurts at the end of the day. Yet this man has helped like hundreds of people move around this community on this really, really hard day. And it's not like he's just got all this time and energy just sitting. He's just like, oh, somebody needs help. Okay, yeah, I'll come, you know. He does that thing. He's the first one there. Sometimes he's been the only one there. And I think that is radical, extravagant generosity. And Mike, thank you for that. Thank you for that. That's inspiring stuff. Let me tell you somebody else who I think is extravagantly generous. Next picture, this woman right here. I talked about her on Easter a little bit. How many of you guys knew her? Okay, most of you, a lot of you didn't. Janae McWilliams, I talked about her on Easter. She died 5 years ago last Sunday. We miss her terribly, I know many of you do. Janae never had any money to give away. She came from a family that had money, but Janae decided to go into world missions instead and then eventually settled down here in the community. And she was extravagant as well, not with financial things, though. She was extravagant with her time and attention. Some of you guys don't know this about her, but she lived with us for the first 3 years when we moved to Oregon, and she was not a morning person. She would wake up like this. She'd walk over to the coffee pot, like she was crabby in the mornings too. And we'd be like, so how did you sleep, Janae? She's like, Jason Haig, my friend from Romania called at 2 a.m. and she wanted to talk about the situation with her mom. I'm like, so did you tell her it's the middle of the night and we could maybe find a different time to do this? She's like, no, Jason, I think she needed help then. I can't tell you how many times this happened. It wasn't just one friend from Romania either. It was somebody from Latvia or China or South. She was all over the world. And these people, it always frustrated me because I'm like, you know how time zones work. You're missionaries. You know what you're doing. You just know this woman will answer the phone and this woman will talk with you. And that's what she did. It was inspiring. Did she need some calibrating? Yes. Did she need to read that boundaries book? Yeah. Yeah. But it was inspiring. She lived a lifestyle of generosity, of giving that kind of attention that only she could give when she's like, ah, 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 you know, like that. Big eyes, listening, empathy, all of these things. It was inspiring. And when she died, we kept getting all these Facebook messages the week that we knew she was gonna go home. And people would be like, Jason, can you please tell her that Anita from Paraguay says, you know, like all these things, and could you read her this poem and play this, you know, all these things. Like, she's like a mother to me, and I'm like, I've never heard of you in my life. And that doesn't mean they weren't close. That just shows you just how many people were touched by that heart. Just how many people were touched and inspired by that generosity. Generosity really does inspire. And it's humbling to think about these examples sometimes, isn't it? It's humbling because I think about all the times I've held back when I really did have something to give, but I held back. I really do have things to offer, but sometimes I cling to them, whether it's finances or time or attention or whatever it is. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think sometimes we kind of walk through this modern world with a little bit of almost a scarcity mindset. Like, I can't afford to talk with this person on the phone right now, even though they really need someone to talk to. I can't do that right now. And I think part of it, this is a hard thing. Part of it is a really good thing because we have a real awareness of things like boundaries now and self-care now. And those are really good things, you know? We know all about ourselves. We know all about our giftings and what we need and how our energy is restored. Like, we know all of it. We could talk to people about how we're introverts or extroverts and how we know we're giving too much because we know our Enneagram number and we know our strengths and all these things. And we also know our spiritual gifts. And helps is not one of my spiritual gifts. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, we could all lean on those things. Guys, all of the things that you are a gift. All of those things are given to share to others. Every single one of those. You know, even the spiritual gifts that, you know, the charismatic world would be like, man, it's like everything's about this or this, or the gift of healing, which is an amazing thing. You guys, if you have the gift of healing and you're not praying for healing, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, those gifts are for ministry. They're for blessing. All of the gifts we have are for blessing other people. Are you with me? So please hear me. I'm scared to even bring any application to this message right now. You know why? Because some of you are like Janae and really need to calibrate. Some of you, your spouses are like, plug your ears, honey, right now. You have no more bound, like you have no, you've got to stop giving because you are about to crash and burn. Some of you are there. And then some of us think we're there, but we're not really there, you know? Man, I've had no time. Oh my goodness, I'm so maxed out. Let me tell you about these 4 Netflix shows I'm watching lately, though. And I don't say any of this to shame anybody. I don't know what the application is here, you guys. All I know is that God's called us to, he's given us the example of extreme generosity. And Jesus has given the example of lavish, beautiful, extreme generosity. And he says, hey, love like I did. And sometimes I know I can end up being stingy. Sometimes I can be like, yeah, somebody's moving. Mike's got it, right? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, could I have helped? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but you've got 5 kids and you're a pastor and a right. Yeah, I know, but I also watched the Mavericks game last night and then 2 podcasts on YouTube about the Mavericks game that I just watched. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying sometimes we're so aware of these things of like refueling and self-care that that becomes the default, and that wasn't Jesus' default. And Jesus did practice soul care, by the way, you guys. He retreated. He got with the Father. He frequently did that. This one particular time, he just decided to interrupt it to give a little more. And I don't know what to say about that, except I'm so inspired by the generosity of Jesus Christ. It's inspiring. So I'm not telling you you need to give more. I don't know where you are. I don't know the things that you guys particularly have. Maybe you're like, dude, I have no time and energy. Well, you know, like some of you moms with like a bunch of little kids, listen, I don't even know how you guys go day to day sometimes. And you might not have that time, like I really want to, and then feel like all condemned. Oh, shoot, I am not giving 4 hours a day to my friend who's going through a hard time. You are taking care of little defenseless children every single day. That is something. Do you hear me? So please, don't fill in the gaps here if Jason's telling you to do more. I just want you to take the beautiful inspiration of the generosity of God and Jesus Christ and those you know and take that before the Lord and say, Lord, what do I have? What do you have to say about this? What do you have to say about this? I don't know what he has to say. But each and every one of us has something different. Let me close with this one thing. Do you remember this woman? You remember this woman who, we have that last, yeah, there we go. This woman who came and brought the alabaster jar to Jesus' feet. You remember her? We don't know much about her, except she says she was a sinful woman. The implication there is that she was very possibly a prostitute. She comes, this alabaster jar of ointment, which would have, it was so valuable. You guys, it was like a year's wages here, of her wages. And she comes, and she is so captivated by Jesus that she breaks it over his feet in this act of pure devotion that wasn't tainted at all by sexuality. But she comes. This might have been the only thing she had, the most costly thing that she owned. And she brought that. And you know what else she brought? I heard this theologian, Gregory A. Boyd, talk about this. And it threw me for a loop. And I can't ever think of the story without thinking of it. You know what else she had? She had the ability to kiss. She probably used this ointment and this thing in the way that she lived to probably stay alive, and it was tainted. But now she goes, I got this, and I know how to kiss, and I want to bless this man the only way I know how. And that's why people are so scandalized, but it wasn't tainted. She was simply bringing all she had. What do you have? What do you have? That's my question. What do you have? And how can we bless those around us with what we've been given? Stand together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your generosity. Anyone else thankful for the generosity of Jesus? Yes. We thank you for your generosity that you laid your life down for us. Lord, we thank you for the many things you've given us. God, I don't even know how to end this except to say, Lord, would you speak to each and every one of us? Are you guys open to hearing what the Lord says? We just ask you to speak to our hearts, Lord. We ask you to bring calibration in our lives. Lord, I pray there's be no condemnation for any person here. But Lord, I pray you would inspire us afresh. Inspire us to whatever calibration we need to love you and to love those around us in the best way possible. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've given. We just want to be faithful, and we want to mirror your generosity in life. In Jesus' name, I pray you'd bless each and every person here this week to understand the beautiful gift you've given them, to understand their worth, to understand your love for them in the deepest parts of their soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Prayer team's coming forward. We love you guys. Have a wonderful week.